Sunday morning, 9/5/21. No.
9/12.
I didn't change the date. Well, actually, it was correct because last week I didn't bring it. So, okay. The title of this is Christians and Old Testament Ordinances. I feel it's been a week or so ago. It just hung in my craw, just some of the stuff I'm hearing spewing out of Christians and Christians that ought to know better. These are ones that are recognized in the body of Christ. And so I just think, I just wanted to deal with these issues today. We will give credit for some of the research I did on this subject to two websites. One of them was called Got Questions. The other one was PhilDrysdale.com. So I want to first look at the book of Levi, because we're just past the, it would have fit because last week was the trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, but it doesn't matter. Levi, Leviticus 23. All right, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days we must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. I remember way back, we're talking, 80s, and I remember this couple that we know, another couple, they always wanted to do the feast. So they'd be out in the field throwing salt over their shoulder and did all this crap. I mean, just crap. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to fulfill the Word of God. Not saying that the feasts are crap, don't get me wrong, but we'll see as we continue to read. And you shall offer that day when you weigh the sheaf and he lamb without blemish, of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hen. Ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. Then shall they shall be a fine flour. They shall be taken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And he shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering, their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. I heard Simon Park say this. He said, What gets me, and he's a Christian, but he said, what gets me about Christians is they pick what they want out of there. Instead of the whole, you know, the Word of God and its context and its entirety, he said, they just pick out what they want. They pick and choose what they want. I'm thinking, yeah, that's why it's such a mess. Then ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for sin offering and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. The priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. If you're going to celebrate the feast, doesn't it include all of this? You don't just pick and choose little parts out of it that you try to push on other people? Okay. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no several work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Someone said something that it made a lot of sense to me. They'll say you're to do this forever. Well, there's two contexts of forever. One is to the end of your life. Another one may be eternity. And I thought, I hadn't thought about it that way. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Can you see why they couldn't keep it? Good Lord. I'm just going. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no several work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall be ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no several work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no several work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings which ye give unto the Lord. Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. The only thing good about this is these are all days you don't work. And you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days of the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And you shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. We got Christians building booths today for this celebration. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. All right, these feasts are, there's 7 of them. Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So, the question is, should Christians keep the Feast of the Old Testament? There was a time it all ended, even for them under the Old Covenant. This is Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. Do you realize they've never gone back over under what they did before they were exiled to Babylon? And all that happened 70 AD, Jesus talked to the disciples about. They've never really ever had another temple to do their feast in a proper way. Okay. And we know that this was during the time after the Babylonian exile. They still did not sacrifice today over there, I don't think. They have to do it in certain places like the tabernacle or the temple according to the Old Testament guidelines. They can't just do it anywhere. So it ceased. That's why the big thing about building a third temple, so they can reinstate the daily sacrifice. Okay. And shortly after, the Messiah came and took it out altogether. Now we're going to look at some scriptures concerning that. Matthew chapter 27. He was the sacrifice. See, after Jesus, you know, died and went back, then whatever that guy's name was that came in and desecrated, Jesus told him about, they never did. There's really not been anything since then. They've never had a temple in Jerusalem over there. And the spot that they think they have to have it is where the Dome of the Mosque is. All right, Matthew 27:50. Sometimes I don't know, is that the devil's doing or God's doing? Because he's not in that temple, and he will never be in another temple made with hands. Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So, that huge curtain, which was, 12 foot tall? It was tall enough where a man could not rip it, and it was rent from top to bottom, saying, no more will men be barred from coming into the presence of God. Okay. So why do I need to have a feast? It sacrifices. It canceled the Old Testament ordinances. All right, Colossians 2. We're going to read the whole chapter there. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and from them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Join and in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Wasn't that the reason they did the sacrifices? Was to remove their sin. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. This was a foreshadowing of Christ's coming. To me, if you celebrate these things, you're saying he hasn't come yet. Isn't that what Israel's doing? They don't accept Messiah for the most part. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh? That kind of just says it all, doesn't it? What is Paul saying here? Jesus' sacrifice took care of all the reasons for the Old Testament ordinances. Why would you go back to it? You're completed Jesus' complete work. You don't need to add a pinch or a bunch or outward works to it. I don't know why these people, they're so infatuated with the Jews. I guess they want to be Jews. I don't know. But why would you want to put it on the body of Christ? After Jesus went to the Father, were the non-Jews required to keep the law of Moses? No. Acts 15. I guess the best answer you could say to somebody is, that was a shadow of things to come. We have the real deal. We don't need that. That's just a waste of gobbledygook services, making you feel holy and just and everything. Well, if that's what's making you feel holy and just, that's not where you trust in. It's temporary, I'm sure. All right, chapter 15. A certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Isn't that what they're doing today? These are Christians, though. They're not Jews. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. I mean, one such person I know of has written all these books and said the Lord said this and the Lord said that. And I'm going, he couldn't have possibly said this. And they're well known. And God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. We got to look to the Bible, people, not what somebody's book or somebody's vision or somebody's dream. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? Is this what this is? As if we're not fragmented enough. As if we're not disunified enough. Put a yoke on the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. It was a mess. They were so encumbered with works. Well, God tried to get them to walk by faith. He said, I'm going to give you something. This is what you want. You want us, you want something that, you know, you base how you feel on your merit. I'm going to give you something. He thought it would lead them to Christ because they would be so wearied of it. And to some, thank God it did. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first visit did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Think about it, Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew, but he walked by faith. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. The very cesspool we are dealing with now. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. What good does that do? Can't save you. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. Yeah, here's this letter. I'd like to send this letter to these people that are pushing this garbage on Christians. Making them feel bad if they have Christmas. Making them feel bad if they have Easter. Making them feel bad if they don't worship on Saturday. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostle and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. The bad thing about it is these programmers that are spouting this crapola, they've turned off their comments, so you can't make a comment. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Do they read the same Bible that we read? It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. And when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. So, you just can't say it any plainer than that. I just don't get it. And we wonder, what's wrong with the church today? All right. Jesus not only did away with it for the Gentile, but also did away with it for the Jew. In fact, if you're a Jew that's born again, you're no longer a Jew. Because a Jew is not a nationality. It is not a race that was born. Even Abraham was a Chaldean. This is a birth of the Spirit, the true Jew. in heart, circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh. Oh, the Jews don't like that. That's the kind of statements that I make that I get these Jews to call me liars. Just call me a liar. It is the truth, whether you like it or not. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care if they like it or not. Get over yourself. Jesus made it equal playing field. Get off your high and mighty Torah, okay? Get off your high horse. We've had enough of it. We've had you crammed down our throats. We'll accept you as brothers, but leave that other stuff far away from me as possible. Okay. All right. Ephesians 2. It's time that this foolishness stops in the church. If we're ever going to build the church on a firm foundation that keeps the devil out, this garbage has to go. You know what I'm saying? It's got to go. And I'm not mad at y'all. There may be somebody needs to hear this on the other side of this sometime, kind of like Trey Smith. Goodbye to all of you on the other side of this video. All right, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, not ordinances, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In other words, no more Jew, no more Gentile. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Take that in your Jewish pipe and smoke it. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. That's to the Jew and that's to the Gentile. Those that were nigh through the works of the law, those who were far off that didn't know anything. From through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. If you as a Jew think doing them ordinances is going to get you to heaven or whatever, salvation, it ain't going to do it. That's not the way. Eternal life does not come by doing the Jewish customs, not in this dispensation. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Like I said, it just doesn't get any plainer than this. Are the feast considered ordinances? Right here, Numbers 9:12. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. So all these feasts, These are all ordinances to be kept. All right, Hebrews 9. Boy, if you don't can't get it in these passages, boy, this one really, you get it in Hebrews. I don't understand why people want to heap burdens on us, why they don't want to allow us as Christians to be free. Maybe they're lacking something in their life. I don't know. Hebrews 9:1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tabernacles or the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. There's no reason for any of this anymore. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Ain't going to be no third temple. I mean, they can build 1,000 of them. God's not there. He ain't gonna ever going to be there. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. He didn't go offer his blood on a natural altar. He did that at the tabernacle that's set up in the heavens where God sits. For Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And then chapter 10 here talks about, for the law, having a shadow of things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered, year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Right there. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? You betcha. Because the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. So that's what the sacrifice of Jesus did. No more consciousness of sin. Was something I was going to say. Oh, the devil don't get anything. He doesn't get Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. He doesn't get any of them. He doesn't get Christmas. He doesn't get Easter. He doesn't get Halloween. He doesn't get any of these days that they call their holy days. He doesn't get anything, and that's what I confess. You get nothing but the pit and then the lake of fire. That's all you get. You're not robbing us what day we choose to celebrate. I'm done with him roughshodding over everything in my life. How about you? You fed up enough? All right. All this feast day celebration is much to do about nothing, especially for the Christian. If people celebrate it, they have a right to, and we're not to judge them, but this is what I think about it. It is just another fleshly thing that Christians do that keeps them from walking in the Spirit. And we have had the Jews crammed down our throats. Oh, you don't touch the Jews. Well, nobody's trying to touch the Jews. I wouldn't touch their land for all the tea in China. I don't know of any Christians that are trying to touch their land, do you? Now, they've tried to infiltrate this whole earth, and they're with, you know, the Khazarian Mafia, which I guess the true Jews have been hijacked. There are Jews that say they are, and they are not. All right. Satan will constantly have you questioning, have I done enough? Jesus already done it. That's what they do. They might, well, Lord, should we be doing it Saturday? Lord, should we be this and that? We already went through a deal many years ago where you didn't get to have Christmas and everything else. And I said that day after we got it out of that mess, I said, unless the Lord tells me I can't have a Christmas tree, I'm having a Christmas tree. So get over it. See, we're supposed to allow our brothers and sisters to do whatever they believe in their hearts that they want to do and not judge them in doing it. I don't think the Lord cares if your heart's right. We don't bow down and worship our tree according to Jeremiah. That's the scripture they use. They're talking about an idol maker. Nailing his idol. He makes it out of a tree, and then he nails it to the floor, and then he worships it. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll use anything and stretch it as far as they can like a rubber band to try to get as much mileage at it as possible, just to make sure that you just, well, if my life wasn't hard enough as it is, now I got to do this. That isn't the way the gospel is. Now, if the Lord says do it, he gives you the grace to do it. All right. Some people are like the ones Paul talked about, Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren privately spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That was Galatians 2:4. They're spying out. Well, they look too free. Let's see if we can put another bondage on them. At least the deep state hadn't done that enough. Some people will never grasp that salvation is free from human works. It's in a tabernacle made without hands. A good thing to remember here is this. Who is God talking to? Why would someone say we are to celebrate the feast forever? Well, it is evident that God was not talking to them. That was another dispensation. Should we keep the Old Testament Sabbath day? Oh, we're going to get into another worm in that can. Okay, Mark 2. I just want to clear this up because it's just, I'm hearing it out of every sector, and it's all from Christians. I heard he's a real meek little guy, blessed to teach guy. He said, I'd appreciate it so much, fellow believers, if you'd quit trying to judge me. The scripture says you're not supposed to judge me in whatever day that I celebrate. I do celebrate Easter. I do celebrate Christmas. And, you know, he just told them very nicely. He said, so quit doing that. Quit doing that to the body of Christ. I'm thinking, touche to you. All right. Mark 2. No. Yeah. Mark 2. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered? He and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. That is huge. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The day don't rule you. You rule the day. You could have church every day. In the upper room, didn't they tarry for 10 days and they had house churches? All right, John chapter 5. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man where the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, That was cured. It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. I'm thinking, what a sorry, that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. If this were true, you couldn't go to church and get prayed for healing because you'd be accused of working on the Sabbath. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So if the Lord tells you on your day you go to church, you go pray for somebody across town, you go do it. I'm telling you what. All right, Matthew 12. You're going to have no doubt when we're done with this. No doubt. Not that you were doubting, but anyway. You allow me to get it out of my system. 12:2, Matthew 12:2. But when the Pharisees, well, let's read one. same passage. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day throughout the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath. Didn't I just read this? No, that was Mark. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You know, maybe they do this because they don't have any power in their life. They got to do something. I don't know. That's why the Pharisees did it. They didn't heal any day. Because they didn't have any power to do anything. They were just a bunch of rules and regulations and laws. Okay, 10 and 11. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, verse 10, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the others. Then the Pharisees went out and had a council against him, how they might destroy him. Want to kill him for healing a man. I mean, that's a sorry state of affairs. Okay, Mark 3. Verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved from the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And those Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Okay, Luke 6, 7. Well, I'm going to find some of them that are pushing this in a nice way. I may send this teaching right here. Hey, get a gander at this. It's just the opposite of what you're letting on your program. Quit confusing the body of Christ. Don't make me come there with my whip. No, I won't say that. Luke 6, 7. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and commend with one another what they might do to Jesus. Religion is probably the most demonic of it all, to be religious. God hates it. Okay, John 7, 23. What in the world? Okay. That was weird. All right, did I tell you 23? If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 9:16. It's all through here. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. What about the Ten Commandments? Are we to live by the Ten Commandments? The organization I used to work in, there was an older Pentecostal lady there. And the director, she ended up losing her because she had been there for years. Because the director said, well, we're not under the Ten Commandments. And she just, boy, she wasn't having none of that, so she quit. I quit. All right. Yeah, people have their sticklers. I guess there's things they'll put up with, but others they won't. Okay, this is James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and not works? Well, we already read that earlier. Okay, let's keep going here. Galatians 5:6. But faith which worketh by love. Love fulfilled the Ten Commandments. This is Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Those that want to keep feasts, the traditions, etc., just don't have a revelation of just how free they are. We are not no longer under the law. That's Acts 15:10. I think I already read that. All right, we're going to read just a few scriptures real quick. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 4:14. For they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, a thought just occurred to me. If you're having a problem getting your answer by faith, maybe it's because you're under the law. Because it will nullify it. You're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? What have I done wrong? Ever do that? I can guarantee you have. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So you can't walk under the law and walk under grace. One has to go. And if you walk under the law, there ain't no grace. If you walk under grace, ain't no law. Okay. All right, 1 Corinthians 15... 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. This sin consciousness, always feeling like, what have I done wrong this time? I must be doing something wrong because I'm not getting the answer that I want. All right, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You can't do enough stuff. Remember the word last week where the Lord said, it hurts me that you think I'm such a hard taskmaster. All right, Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's not of our works. This has been bestowed on us free. That's what grace is, free. Galatians 4. It doesn't say, you know, these people Jesus healed, he didn't make them qualify for it first. He didn't have to hear what sins they'd done. A lot of times he said, your sins are forgiven you. All right, Galatians 4:22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generate to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Seeing that like the law, trying to get you to come back under the law, come back under the law. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Tell the law, hit the door. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Just get free here this morning. Those that try to do the law and its ordinances, they're in bondage. Just saying, they're in bondage. Okay, let's keep going. Ephesians 2. I read some of this a while ago. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Do you have to go work for your birthday gift? No. Then you don't have to work for your healing. You don't have to work for your provision. You don't have to work for anything. All right, verse 14. All right, I read that a while ago. I won't read that again. Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he counted it as dung in comparison. All right, Hebrews 8. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. All right. Used to be Israel and the Jews, now it is Judah. Yeah. Judah and, well, anyway, Hebrews 10. I read the first verse a while ago, but I'll read the first four. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continue to make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. All right. People can make their own decisions about these issues, but I do issue a warning. If you get all caught up in these dead works for whatever reason and neglect what God has told us to do as Christians, it won't be pretty when he begins to look in the books. In other words, how are you going to walk in the Spirit when you're walking in an old covenant? You're going to miss it. It's a deception. All right, one more scripture, I think. Yeah, one more. Matthew 25. Okay. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. When I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I thank the ones that do not recognize the apostles and the prophets in the church, and they're doing their own thing. I think they fit into this. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. See, when the church is in order, and the apostles are there, and the prophets are there, then there's a plan. The gospel goes forth. When they're not there, we all become our little flocks all over the place. We don't have association with each other because we all believe differently according to whatever pastor we have. No guidelines, no accountability. Is this is what happened? Yeah. That's what's happened. Okay.
Read Galatians 5:14 and verse 18. You might have read this already.
5:14
and 18.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then 18. Mm-hmm. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I mean, yeah, I know. Satan would have us occupied with dead works and silliness so that we don't obey him. And then that's why, you know, they act surprised. Well, Lord, when didn't we not do this? They might have big ministries and think they're doing all that they're supposed to. But if you don't do it God's way, it's just a dead work.